This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. On today's episode, I will be going solo. In this episode, I'll discuss the latest transactions by the Spurs, examine who might get waived or traded, and brainstorm potential starting lineups. Before I record, I do want to note that I am taping this episode on Thursday, July 20th at 6:38 p.m. Mountain Time. All right, let's go ahead and jump right into this episode of the Spurs Cast. All right, so I do want to make a note that thank you all for those of you that watch the YouTube videos. I put these short videos out every time the Spurs make some sort of transaction. So some of this stuff, if you've been watching the videos, is going to be a little repetitive that you've already seen before. But for those that listen only through the audio, listen to the Spurs Cast that goes into your feed each week, this is going to be some new, not new information maybe that you've not heard, but just the way I've presented it. So since the last Spurs Cast recording about a week ago when I recorded with Colin Reed, the Spurs have made several different moves. Number one, they waived Lamar Stevens, who had who is going to have a $400,000 cap hit. They also traded for Cameron Payne from the Phoenix Suns, where they acquired his $6.5 million salary along with a 2025 second round pick via the New Orleans Pelicans and cash. And then in return, the Spurs sent a heavily favored 2024 second round pick to Phoenix. Then the Spurs also officially signed Trey Jones to his salary. And according to Keith Smith of Spotrac, Jones's new deal is at $9.9 million in year one and then $9.1 million in year two. What this means for the Spurs' cap sheet is that they are officially over the cap with Jones signed and also keeping Sandro Mamukelashvili's cap hold and also Dominic Barlow's cap hold. But if they did want to go out and sign a free agent, they do have that $7.7 million room exception to use. I doubt they're going to use it just because they're facing a situation where they have limited roster space. But that's kind of where their roster stands. Now, what decisions are we awaiting for the Spurs to make into the future? So we are still expecting Sandro Mamukelashvili to sign his deal. I'm a little interested as to why he hasn't signed, considering it's supposed to be at the veteran minimum. After Trey Jones signed and took, you know, he pretty much used all their cap space, or their cap space was gone. I don't know why the Spurs haven't gone forward with Mamu signing yet. And again, it is Thursday, then they haven't done this, and they signed Jones on Tuesday. I'm going to give one theory on a possibility in the next player I'm about to talk about, and that's Dominic Barlow. So we know that he's still a restricted free agent with the opportunity to return to the Spurs on a two-way contract, or he could see if another team or the Spurs offers him a full NBA deal. And if you're watching visually, I have a note here, $2 million. So the reason why that's an interesting number is because if the Spurs wanted to salvage their last bit of cap space, they can actually still open up $2 million. And here's how. They would renounce Mamu's cap hold, and they would sign him last. They would sign him that veteran minimum, but last. They would also renounce Barlow's cap hold. And so taking away his $1.8 million cap hold, that opens up $2 million left in cap space. And if they wanted to give Dominic a salary like, you know, 2 to 4 years and starting at $2 million in year one, that would actually be more than his veteran minimum because he's only a one-year player who has 1 year of experience in the league. His veteran minimum is about $1.8 million. So that $2 million could be actually a little bit more in salary. Now, again, I don't know if they're going to do this. Maybe Barlow just hasn't signed his qualifying offer because he's trying to see if another team's going to send in a qualifying offer to him, or maybe he's still negotiating with the Spurs. But that's just one theory on why I'm just seeing, like, you know, why haven't they signed Mamukelashvili? It could just be that they just haven't got around to signing the contract, so that it could just mean nothing. But again, there is that possibility that maybe they want to give Barlow, if they were to give him a full salary spot, I mean a full roster spot, a bump in salary more than his veteran minimum would allow. There is also CeeDee Sissoko, who's unsigned still. So we know that the Spurs drafted him in the second round. The Spurs can go two ways with him, where they can try to sign him to a two-way contract, or they can try to use that new second-round pick exception to give him anywhere from like a 2 to 4 year deal if they wanted to. We've seen multiple teams do that using that new second-round pick exception, and that doesn't count against your salary cap until after July 31st. So I'm not sure yet either what kind of deal they're gonna go forward with Barlow or Sissoko. Again, the key thing to note there is that if they sign one or both of those players to full roster deals, then they're gonna have to either trade or waive even more players, and I'll get into that discussion here in a bit. Now, we do note that as of right now, the Spurs have about 2 months up until the first game of the regular season, actually 2.5 months, to either trade two players or waive two players to get their roster down to the required minimum roster space. So the issue here is that the Spurs have 17 players with guaranteed deals on their contracts right now. They can only have 15 going into opening night in mid-October. So they have a lot of time to try to trade out two players or try to waive two players. But there is going to be have to be some decisions coming down here within the next 2.5 months. And I'll get into to some of those players, potential players who get traded or waived here in a bit. And then something else to keep an eye on this offseason is a potential Devin Vassell extension. Now, last year, we did see Keldon Johnson get a very quick extension. I think he signed with within like the first month of July. He got his extension from the Spurs. But before Keldon, the Spurs had a tendency to wait until right before the October deadline to sign the some of their players to extensions. And that was the case with DeJounte Murray and Derek White. Both of those players didn't get their extensions until right before the deadline in October. I think it's right before the season starts, or it might be like Halloween, October 31st. So I do still think that Devin's going to get an extension somewhere in that like $20 to $25 million range, which is about 15 to 18% of the cap next year. But, you know, I don't know why it hasn't happened yet. Again, the Spurs have a tendency to wait until October to do this. It's aside from Keldon, they don't usually sign these players to extensions right away in July. Okay, so now the tricky question is who gets traded or waived? So I have two columns here where I'm going to talk about some players who are, most of these players are all in the final year of their deal, or if they have a deal beyond next season, they have non-guaranteed salary or partially guaranteed salary. So let's first talk about the players I don't think will get traded immediately, or like the Spurs would either trade or waive. And so I think that these players are pretty much locked into the roster to begin the season. Zach Collins, of course, we don't think he's going to get traded, or because again, they right now it looks like he's going to be the starting five. He's been an established part of their team for multiple years now. The only way I see him getting traded might be like the February trade deadline if they're having a losing season and maybe they don't have any plans to have Zach as their future five. Maybe then they could say, okay, we're going to see if a playoff team will try to trade for you. So again, I don't think Zach Collins gets traded. Doug McDermott, he's in the final year of his deal. He's been part of their bench unit. He has that continuity that he kind of knows the system now that he's been with the Spurs for multiple years. He's a player where also I don't see them trading him right away. I think that again, if they're having a losing season, then down the road come February, the trade deadline, you know, playoff teams would want Doug. And so the Spurs would see, okay, you know, do they have any plans to maybe sign Doug in the offseason? If not, then maybe they look at moving him. So again, I think Doug is pretty safe to still be on the roster by opening night. Then there's Charles Bassey. He does have about 3 years left on his deal. The last 2 years are non-guaranteed. And it looked like he really found a spot for himself last year on the team. And then, of course, we know that he ended up getting injured. But we have seen him part of the group right now. We saw, like, at Summer League, he's been in a lot of the photos and the videos. He's been there with several Spurs players. And so I think his spot is pretty safe. The only thing I would say, and he's also like the third big, if you look at the bigs on the roster, it's like Zach Collins, Sandro Mamukelashvili, and then Charles Bassey. So they, you know, he would basically be their third big at this point, your traditional five. And so the only part, I think his spot is pretty safe as far as not getting traded before the opening night or getting waived. He looks like he's pretty safe there. The only reason why I would say kind of just keep an eye out is just because of the salary. It's the fact that he's at $2.6 million. If they have to waive a player, you know, some of these other players that I'm going to talk about, they may want to keep those players until February. And the tough part is that, again, if they needed to, you know, because you could try to get probably better assets, draft assets for some of these players that I'm about to discuss. And so I do wonder if, again, I think he's pretty safe, but I don't know for sure how safe Bassey is if they can't find a trade for him. Or not for him, but for another player, would he be that player, unfortunately? But we'll see again. I think he's pretty safe. That's why I put him more in the first column of established with the team. Now let's talk about the second column. And these are players that I list these players here from, I think, most trade value to least trade value. So I think Reggie Bullock has a lot of trade value. I think that if the Spurs are going to try to hold on to him, if they can get a really good deal before training camp, then I think they'll say yes and they'll move him. But if they can't, I think they're going to wait until February and see if, you know, what playoff team, you know, sends a really good offer for him. Jetty Osman, again, same situation. I think that if they can get a really good deal now, between now and training camp, they'll say yes and they'll move him. But if not, I think they're going to hold on to him as well until the trade deadline in February. Same scenario for Cameron Payne. If there's a really good deal out there for him right now, they'll say yes. But if not, I think they'll just wait until the trade deadline. Devontae Graham, his contract's interesting because he has $12.1 million he's making this season, plus he gets $2.8 million guaranteed in 24-25. I think he's also in that situation where if they can find a deal right now, they'll say yes. But if not, they'll try to move him at the trade deadline. But if they can't move him, then there's not really a lot of urgency to move his contract because he's only guaranteed for the $2.8 million in the following season. The player that is most likely to get waived or traded from this list is Ken Birch, I think. And this has been reported by some Spurs media where it looks like, he was injured to end last year. He never got to play in a Spurs uniform. We really haven't heard much about him, about where his situation's at right now. He does have a pretty good contract there at $6.9 million that you would normally want to keep and trade for in the future. But because there is a deadline, I think that if they can't move him, and teams that really haven't seen him play in a long time, I don't think he has that much trade value right now. So I think that he's probably the player that ends up getting waived if they can't find a deal for him between now and opening night of the season. So again, I think Birch is the easy answer here in that question about who gets traded or waived. I think the tougher question becomes who gets, what if the Spurs can't find a deal that they like, a trade deal? So then who's that second player that gets waived? And that's where it gets really interesting. And so again, I don't know. I mean, if you all want to leave your comments on our Project Spurs website or the YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, or tweet at me at Paul Garcia NBA, who do you think is that second player I would post to you if the Spurs cannot find a trade for anybody else aside from Birch? I honestly think they're going to find a good deal, whether it's for Bullock, Osman, or Payne before the season begins. So I think one of those three players will get traded. I think teams are going to want one of those three players on their roster, especially playoff level teams. But again, we'll kind of see what happens there. And again, if it had to be a situation where they wanted to hold on to Bullock, Osman, Payne, and Graham because of their contracts and hold them until February or try to move them until February because of how large their contracts are, then unfortunately, like I said, that I think Charles Bassey might be that player, even though it looks like he had a really good a run with the Spurs last year. So again, that's a very interesting question, I think. Who gets traded or waived before opening night of the season? Because like we said, two players do have to get moved or waived. And then going back to the first topic, I mean, if they sign Dominic Barlow to a full deal and or also Cedi Sissoko, then you're talking about four players getting either moved moved or waived. So that's it's a tough decision by the general manager Brian Wright this coming off season to figure out how to get this roster down to 15 players when again all of these players are pretty good players here. There's not really like a play, even like a player like Lamar Stevens, who they just waived. He could have been a pretty good, depth piece there for off the bench for depth, a player there. And the fact that they had to waive him just because they're out of salary room, out of roster space is interesting. So we'll kind of see what happens there with the Spurs. Now, the last topic I want to discuss is just kind of brainstorming some starting lineups because now that we knew that Trey Jones was coming back, and then we saw that Victor Wembanyama in summer league played a lot of 3-4, mostly the four is what he's going to be on paper. Definitely not the five. They don't want him to play the five there. So that's where it makes it interesting about who's going to start. So I just have some potential starting lineups here. Again, we'll see what happens in training camp and also preseason to see who ends up being the starting five for the Spurs. So I have more so the first lineup is a traditional lineup where you have a traditional point guard in Trey Jones. You have more traditional two in Devin Vassell. You have Keldon Johnson, who's a little bit more undersized as a three. You have Wemby at the four and then Zach Collins at the five. So that's one lineup. When you look at it, you say, okay, there's stability on offense. They're going to know how to get into their sets. You have a Trey Jones who can get everywhere you need to go. He can run pick and roll with Victor Wembanyama. It's a pretty established group there. The one thing that I really see concerning in that group is lack of shooting. The outside of Devin and Zach Collins, a lot of those players didn't shoot the three very well last season. And so that's something to watch is spacing in that unit. Then we look at a more non-traditional lineup, somewhere where the Spurs could be more experimental and not really worry about having a traditional point guard on the floor, just kind of letting different players initiate the offense. So maybe this is a situation where you have someone like Jeremy Sochan. He's playing the three, but he's probably handling the ball, bringing it up the floor and kind of initiating the offense a lot of times. So you have Sochan there at what I would pose as the one, Devin Vassell at the two, Keldon at the three, Wembanyama at the four, and then Zach Collins at the five. I think this would be a really good defensive lineup. They really a lot of size at all positions, a lot of versatility and switching. But then there's still that issue about lack of spacing where your only shooters still are Vassell and Zach Collins on most consistent nights. Then I don't think they'll do this, but there's also the option to just, put Wemby at the five. And then this is where you can kind of get a little bit of that traditional lineup included with Victor at the five. So you can start Trey Jones, Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, Jeremy Sochan at the four and then Victor Wembanyama at the five. Because of what the Spurs showed us in summer league, I don't think they would go with this lineup. Maybe this is the type of group that closes a game. That's where I would see more so where Wemby might have to play the five, but more so in closing closing games when it's close. And then there's those other experimental lineups where maybe you could bring someone like Keldon Johnson off the bench as like a six man. We know that he was the leading scorer last year. I don't know, again, that they would do that just because he is one of their players making the most money on their team right now. And he was also the leading scorer last year. But this would be where, like, Trey Jones starts at the one. You have Vassell at the two, Sochan at the three, Wembanyama at the four, and then Zach Collins at the five. And then, you let Keldon run your offense there off the bench as your six man. But, again, I don't know if that's the route they would go with. Just if I had to just pinpoint which one I think is going to start, which group, I would say it's probably going to be the traditional one, just at least start training camp. But again, I don't know. I really feel like they need to have Jeremy Sochan on the floor at all alongside Victor Wembanyama as much as possible. So again, it's an interesting question. For Coach Pop and the coaching staff to figure out here, starting when training camp begins in October and then going into the preseason and the regular season. So that will be something interesting to watch. Let's see here. All right. So before I close out this episode, I do want to say thank you all for listening to this episode of the Spurs Cast. I also want to say thank you to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. Please subscribe, rate, and review the Spurs Cast on podcast platforms and YouTube. I do want to say one thing, that we're gonna change our schedule here a bit because we know that the NBA is kind of going into full offseason mode now that free agency is done, now that summer league's gone. So we are gonna go to recording Spurs Cast episodes again, like we usually do, bi-weekly. So every 2 weeks we'll put out an episode. If there is any major breaking news, though, I will definitely record an episode that week, even if it's like one of the weeks it's off. And of course, once the season gets closer in late September, early October, I'll definitely ramp up and go back to weekly Spurs Cast episodes. So from all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.